Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
To Fireteam Chat, IGN's Destiny Show. Thank you so much for joining us today. Joining me in the studio is CJ Gibson.
What's up?
Sean Finnegan.
Chomp chomp.
And James Duggan.
Boom.
James Duggan likes to steal intros. On today's show, we're going to be talking all about the PTR coming to Destiny 2. That's very exciting. We're going to be talking about the roadmap of changes, and we're going to be talking a little bit about Escalation Protocol. Overall, how have you guys been doing with Warmind? Pretty well?
Pretty good.
I'm definitely up on it. There was a sharp downward slope at launch, and I was not feeling it. But I've totally bounced back from that, and I'm actually really enjoying the game.
Yeah.
Very, very much on the Destiny train right now. We're playing so much.
Which is crazy, because you won the last week's Fireteam Chat episode by not being on the Destiny train. Yeah. Your comments were a little salty.
Well, wait. So, Before we get into it, there's a bunch of stuff on the road that I want to go over real quick, so let's run that down. Bungie has released a new roadmap outlining changes that will take place through September. Some of the bigger items include major exotic changes to the armor and a PTR-like mode for PvP called Crucible Labs. According to design lead Derek Carroll, Crucible Labs will give you a peek behind the scenes and a louder voice in their creative process. Every player can try out experimental PvP content and give feedback before it goes into the game. On May 29th, we can expect faction rally improvements and exotic armor sandbox changes. Then in July, we're getting a new seasonal event called Solstice of Heroes Bounties, prestige modes for both raid layers, PC client text chat, year one triumphs, and more exotic armor changes. Finally, in September, gear collections, records, weapon slot changes, weapon randomization, and new gameplay modes will be revealed alongside even more we can expect to hear about soon. And that's just what's on the roadmap. On May 29th, Bungie's senior investment designer, Daniel Akinpo, said that they're going to be working on heroic strikes so they drop higher rewards and become part of the power climb in Destiny. They'll begin dropping a legendary every 3 to 5 heroic strikes that will bring you up to 360 power without mods. In addition, Escalation Protocol key drops will now have a 100% drop chance with each heroic strike. In addition, they said they're tracking a few issues that they don't have solutions for yet. Those include the wall you hit once you hit 345 power, what to do after clearing your milestones for the week, as there isn't much to do at that point currently, adding more tiers to endgame progression, and the quality of rewards for more difficult activities. Before all that happens, you can expect a new Iron Banner running May 22nd through 29th, which will be Control. There will be a new reputation system from Saladin and a ton of new rewards to acquire directly from his inventory, including weapons. I'm very happy about that. Pictured was a hand cannon, sidearm, assault rifle, SMG, sniper, and rocket launcher, and of course, that amazing new armor set. The Bungie app for your phone is also adding LFG, stats and medals, and vendor access is being tweaked to be easier to find. For summer and beyond, they're working on a better gear solution for the mobile app. And finally, just a simple PSA, if you're on the power level grind, wait 1 week to pick up your clan engram, as currently they will not drop at your power level, but they will next week. Now, let's talk about all that on the show, but it's kind of a huge turnaround for Bungie. Okay, so that's everything on the way. Sean, you're back. You're in it. You're enjoying it.
Yeah, very much on the Destiny train, like I said before. I have to preface this with saying, like, I think a large part of it is because I'm playing on PC now, so I don't have any of the weapons. I don't have any of the armor. And I replayed the game from the beginning, so back to the original campaign, all through Curse of Osiris and then through Warmind. So really, like, minus Warmind, which I just played on Xbox like a week ago, the game feels kind of new to me.
It's different PC at 60-plus frames.
Well, even just the gameplay itself feels very different on PC, but in combination with the gameplay feeling new and fast and precise like it would on PC, there's also just a lot of stuff for me to do. Like, I haven't collected the weapons, I haven't collected the armor, so there's a lot of stuff for me to acquire, and I feel that sense of progression that I've always loved about Destiny, which is like, wow, I have a lot to do, I have a lot to accomplish.
So let's roll back the tape in our minds to before Destiny 2 came out, and I made a bold prediction that PC was going to be the definitive platform. Mm-hmm. Literally all of us at this table and everybody in this office is playing on PC. It's an inclusive platform.
Not everybody
play
in the
on controller.
Yeah, PS4
players. Most people in the office.
Who?
Marty, Zach. There's a couple of people. Zach.
Fran plays on
Barrett.
PC.
Oh, yeah, I guess Fran
there's a few
PC.
People. But again, so let's preface this way.
Right.
Let's preface it this way. The majority of the people who are playing it as a hobby, like for a living, the way we are on PC.
Correct.
Well, we are.
I hate how you say
I get
hobby,
that,
because it makes me think casual. What you mean is hardcore.
But they say it as a hobby, like to do it for like Destiny as a hobby. So, but it is
hobbies are different in Canada. It's
it's Bungie saying it that way. I'm just saying, like, I think the people who are jumping into the DLCs, like Doug and we were talking a little bit about the ebb and flow, like the sine curve that happens when DLCs come out. Those are the people that are playing on the PlayStation, Xbox.
Yeah,
well,
I mean, I don't think that there's any. It's like, there's a lot of people who play Overwatch on console.
Sure.
Yeah.
But
that's great.
I don't think that.
Good point. Long story short, I don't care what platform you're playing on. Tons of people are playing Destiny. We're here to talk about the update. So I'm going to cut everybody off and we're going to get the show back on the train.
Boom.
That we are going towards. PTR was announced for Destiny 2. So let's talk about Crucible. Sean and we played together. Mm-hmm. We've all been playing a little bit more Crucible and they're adding something called Crucible Labs. Mm. I am really, really excited about this feature. CJ, this is going to be awesome. This is going to be like Overwatch and a lot of the other games that do PTRs. I only know of Overwatch.
Every
Rainbow Six
game,
has
almost.
One.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, what's cool is that, we can play Crucible modes now together like we just did in 1v1.
Yeah.
Oh sorry. I
go
didn't
check
leave
out
that
video.
Didn't
want
to leave that to the end of the show there. But,
good point.
No, the PTR thing is super cool. I hope they do, just various game modes and they change it up a lot. That's what it's neat.
Yeah. So just to explain for people out there what PTR is it stands for public test realm, and it's something that game developers who do heavily multiplayer influenced games have been doing for a long time, where essentially players can connect to a separate server where they have implemented different changes and stuff to the sandbox, and they're basically testing them out before it goes live in the full game. It's totally something you can opt into in other implementations. We don't know how this is going to work in Destiny yet.
Well, here's something really cool, Sean. They say every player of Destiny 2 access to the experimental PvP content will happen. So
that's
means
cool.
Console players and PvP players.
Yeah, that's
NPC
great.
Players.
So maybe it works as like it's a playlist or something in the Crucible sort of like.
And that's what Fortnite is doing right now. Fortnite, when you log in, you see like 50v50 or like this new special mode or snipers only. Like that is what I've wanted Destiny to implement. And even if it is maybe even just a weekly feature, that's fine with me. Even 1 week of playing something new would be cool.
Yeah, I mean, so like I hate to bring up World of Warcraft, but in terms of PTR, that's
the right guy here. Right?
That's where my sort of most intensive experience with PTR like stuff has happened. But in WoW, it would be like, we know there's a big patch coming out in 3 months. And from now until then, PTR is open and you can connect to the server. And this is where all the changes are live and they're testing them out. And guess what? Some of it's a little broken. Sometimes there's crashes and there's bugs. You got to be okay with that. But basically, we're here to see if these changes work. And if they don't, we'll change them before it goes live. And if they do, then they'll stay in for the live patch. This helps people prevent things like, I think something like this would have helped us prevent the special ammo change back in Destiny 1, where the change went live and it stayed live for a year and everyone hated it.
John, you were a big, you really, really wanted a PTR in Destiny. You have it, or you're going to have it very soon.
For PvP.
Soon.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
one environment. You know, I think that a lot of us, the frequency and consistency of Bungie's mistakes, historically with Destiny 2 have been staggering. Almost every release, there is some kind of major bug that is, whether it be, oh man, what was that called? The laser.
Prometheus lens.
Prometheus lens. Yeah. Bugs heavy with strikes, with raids, yeah. Mm-hmm. Things
the
that,
raid, the raid day one that we beat and then we wiped.
Yeah.
And that, and they said that wasn't a widely spread problem.
Sure.
And then they're like, oh yeah, it totally is.
Right.
And then they fixed it.
I think this time they could have gotten very valuable feedback about how heroic strikes feel completely under incentivized and how doing something like, the Herald of Zol, which is a really cool fight, and I really enjoyed playing heroic, but we got hardly anything for it. We got nothing for it, actually. We got 335 gear. I feel like that feedback is where I would want to see progress. So having a PTR and PvP is a step forward. I think it could lead to a much better environment. It could lead to a lot more experimentation, like wild experimentation. They could vastly go in one direction or another, and then if people don't like it, they'll be like, all right, well, we'll just revert it.
Well, hearing their notes about like the strike stuff already, I'm very happy to see that they're like, yeah, we screwed up.
But that's reactionary.
Retroactive, right?
It's always retroactive. It's always reactionary. It's never preventative. And I think that with a game like Destiny, where the cadence for content releases for PvE and group PvP are so infrequent, you really have to get it right or else you miss. And I feel like they've missed with every content release in Destiny 2, which is not to say they're not getting better, but I feel like the vast majority of players are getting in, going up against this now 345 wall, previously, what was it, 280? Or 265 or
Wherever
something.
The soft cap was.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. This progression wall bouncing off the game and being like, well, all right, whatever.
But see, you're talking about those as if they're actually flaws. And
they are.
They are flaws.
Right.
Are flaws.
I mean, I get that, but it's not that. Well, that's a design decision. That is not
sure,
a flaw.
That's subjective, but it I think is. it's you can look at it objectively enough to say it's a flaw.
The community is, hey, 350 strikes are rewarding 335s. This doesn't make sense.
But
this isn't a fun gameplay loop.
So
and they're like,
I see,
hey, you're right. We're going to
I see
that.
What you're driving at.
Yeah.
But that's the thing is PTR at least affords people the opportunity to voice their opinion, where
exactly.
before you didn't have that.
Yeah,
so,
yes.
like, you're right. Maybe it was a design decision to do whatever, the special ammo change, right?
Yeah.
But at least we would have had the opportunity to be like, I think this is poor.
Yeah.
And if everyone,
that's what the internet,
if 98% of the people
yeah, they would.
Said that and they said, well, this is what we think is best, then we have to take that.
Here's my only argument against that. And the problem is it seems like I'm defending Bungie all the time. I get
you are.
Fine.
Okay.
So there it is. But regardless, I was saying this before. I don't want a PvE PTR because I think it takes away from what Destiny is at its core. Like, oh, let you experience all the content first and find all the secrets.
No,
and
that's,
then you're going
to
go
that's
through
a totally valid point.
No,
yeah.
And that's
something that with World of Warcraft and with other PvE games that they need players to test out because they don't have the internal resources to do it
because
to the degree that they need to. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the amount of content in Destiny is not high enough to justify that. So I agree with you in the sense that I think for the folks who are in it, it will spoil the experience.
Yeah, like PvE or PvP for sure. I don't mind that because I feel like those are just modes. But for PvE content,
but they can still do like.
But that's the thing is you don't. I
just go to Nessus PTR version. Hey, we're doing the PTR on Nessus this week.
Not the whole game client wasn't available in World of Warcraft's PTR. It was just particular sections of the thing, right? So, like, I can totally understand why it would not be good to have PTR for PvE when you're revealing a raid, for instance.
Right.
Because you don't want people to have a exclusive, not even exclusive, because I guess everyone's going to have access, but just a sneak peek at the content before it drops. Like, I don't think that that's a good thing. But for things that exist in the game regularly, like maybe strikes, stuff that's always been in the game.
Yeah.
Like that could be a beneficial thing, right?
A PTR strike playlist.
Yeah. And I get what you're saying about like, fixing some of these cap or progression issues. That makes sense.
Yeah.
But I mean, those are things that I think are done intentionally. And I don't know if PTR in advance of enough would actually fix that. Like some of it is, I think, exploring what that is in min-maxing. Like, you guys ultimately,
I agree with
383.
Well, yeah, but he had to make three characters to facilitate that.
I get that, but that's kind of been a staple of Destiny. Well, yeah,
I'm 371. I've been playing on one character. I've been enjoying it. But, man, getting the 335, I almost quit.
Yeah,
and didn't experience the rest of the Warmind, which I've really enjoyed. So there is a balance to be had, and I agree with you. I don't think Destiny has the amount of PvE content to make a PTR for PvE appropriate. But I do think that they need to find their formula and start sticking to it and making these lasting design decisions and stop second guessing themselves. Because it's like the hard cap or soft cap. What was it? Was it 265.
265.
Right. You could take that and make a direct inference to 345 and say that's 1-to-1, and I feel like they should have caught that the first time. And the fact that we're in this second sequel, you know.
Do you think this Crucible Labs is going to impact both sandboxes for the better?
I think it'll impact PvP for sure.
Yeah,
I don't know about PvE.
Indirectly, I think it will, because they're doing some of what I've been asking them to do, where they're making exotics more powerful, and then that's translating to different meta in PvP. Mm-hmm. But time to kill in PvP needs to be increased. Or no, decreased. Faster time to kill. That's what most people are wanting, right?
It's funny because, I think a lot of people would agree with you just in general, but there is this phenomenon that I've been experiencing, especially now on PC, where things are much faster, where
well, we've been telling you this for 7 months because of the field of view, and there's a bunch of other things.
The field of view is the issue.
I'm not disagreeing, but what I'm saying is I don't know that it's as exaggerated on console that it is on PC because people just have greater control.
Well, the PC. Extra frames as well as the field of view is huge.
Yeah, but mouse and keyboard, greater precision, greater reflexes, or all of that, whatever. But point is, the phenomena that I've experienced is that 1v1 TTK feels okay, 1v a group and you get vaporized.
Melted, right. Instantly. You can't decrease the time
on
to kill
one them. Hand, it feels too low, but then on another hand, it feels too much. That's a tough spot to be in.
So all this stuff, right? I got the, we'll talk about this later, but I got the Ikelios SMG, and it's a really cool thing that I want to test out in PvP from completing this awesome escalation protocol, and we'll get into that later and why we like it. But if the time to kill was shorter, the difference between weapons is vastly mitigated.
Yeah.
Feeling this versus feeling that, you need time to have the dance, even if it's a little bit of time.
This is what everybody said about Destiny 1 when it came out. Oh, it's too fast. It's not like Halo. And I think they took that feedback literally and they made it a little bit slower. But the majority of the PvP people, ask Steven.
It's crazy to me that anyone could think that Destiny is faster than Halo.
What do you mean?
You've played both of them.
Yeah.
Which Halo, right?
But yeah.
Well, we're talking about Halo 5 here, right?
Headshot.
No, but I mean, like,
when Destiny launched.
From a time to kill standpoint, people feel it's too slow. Like, that everybody, wants the three hand cannon, IS Luna, feeling headshot. And right now, Midnight Coup, Better Devils, and all those weapons in the hand cannon space are four tap.
I still think that's fine.
I know, but that right there is the reason why I think it's so difficult to balance.
They would need to change the context in which that is taking place. They would need to make it a less
team-focused
team shooting
game. If everyone dies in 0.5 seconds, then it doesn't matter what weapon you're using.
Right.
But right there, that's the difference. Vigilant Swing is 0.8, and it's increased a lot, and everybody wants most of the time to kill to be around that players.
I do think Vigilant Swing is that's where we should be looking at TTK. That feels very good there. That three burst,
So TTK?
I get that there's an
There's a dissonance between the idea of having a super fast, skill-based, really quick TTK game and having an RPG where you're getting weapons that do different things and have a variance in their gameplay styles. You can't have both. They don't mix.
This has been my argument, though. It's impossible to balance 2,000 weapons. If you want to just have 10 weapons on the battlefield,
this is nothing
Halo,
new, dude.
This is the argument. You want the TTK right now to increase or stay the same, or decrease or stay the same.
Hey, where's Diablo 3 PvP?
I think it's fine where it is right now.
It doesn't exist because... That is the core issue. Same thing with World of Warcraft. In World of Warcraft now, when you queue up for PvP, everybody is normalized to the same stat range within give or take 10%. All the legendary, which are like exotic effects, are completely turned off. So that's where the game plays well, PvP. When you start throwing in these crazy variables, either you make it this crazy Wild West RPG, I've been playing for 3,000 hours and I'm going to stomp your face in, or you make it this skill-based fun thing. You cannot, they're mutually exclusive.
Let me just say something really quickly. I feel like the weapons need to be adjusted so that each feels differently and has different TTKs, et cetera. So that's one thing that needs to be changed. But I think the bigger complaint that most people have are supers feel pretty good right now.
Yep.
Hunters should still one shot with
Night Stalker. Please, yes. Yeah. It's only a headshot.
Exactly. And the final one is just that our abilities feel underwhelming.
A little muted.
It's like, I punch you, I don't even take out your shield.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
I hit you with a grenade and tag you. Oh, I tag him with a grenade. He's not going to die, though. And that's the area where I feel needs the most work, because as a superpower guardian, you're supposed to feel powerful, and that's been taken away.
So that's the thing, that you can't have a dual melee time to kill if you can run up and just one melee hit somebody.
So not one melee, but I should take out a big chunk of your
life. Why not just diminishing returns on melees? How has nobody suggested that yet?
Maybe, yeah. But
that seems like a very obvious, shoulder charge, take out a big portion of your health, switch to the gun. And for those who don't know what diminishing returns are, is when you do something more than once, the effect
loses effectiveness.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So the first melee does 100 damage, the second one does 25 or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's huge, but 50. Let's call it.
Yeah.
Sure.
But yeah, if you two melee, somebody should die. Right now, it's three.
I don't know. Yeah,
have you ever meleeed someone to death
maybe
from full health?
Three. It's three melees.
I could walk away, grab lunch, and come back and still be meleeing.
But that's the reason why. You can't have a short time to kill and then not have it that way, or everybody would just walk around meleeing.
Destiny 1 was too.
But I'm saying I'm of the mindset that most people are complaining about Destiny 2 right now because the time to kill is longer than Destiny 1. You're telling me you think it's fine.
I mean,
I think it's super fine. In fact,
I think the melee fights you get into are fine.
No,
really?
There you go.
That's
so there's
the
all these variables.
There's different variables that need to be adjusted. Weapons. Let's talk about weapons.
What's your point?
There are lots of variables.
I can still point out,
but we
I'm pointing out what needs to be changed. How melees should be two deaths.
But it sounds like you're saying
not three.
Yeah, but there's all these variables. You got to give them slack. Like
in the way that CJ was talking about, like. I forget what we were talking about, but he was saying it wasn't a completely objective yes or no.
Yeah.
Like having a three melee kill that's deterring people from meleeing, which is making them use abilities, making them use, with the exception of shoulder charges,
last hope,
like grenades, and shooting. So that's a design decision, and I can get behind that. If people feel as though, I think the bigger issue for me with melee is I'm running around a corner, preparing this big massive smash on this dude, mm-hmm. shoulder charging him, and he's able to do more damage with his returning melee mm-hmm. and get a one up on the fight. So there's no point for me to shoulder charge unless they're almost dead.
As a Titan main, yeah, like traversal is the one reason you use shoulder charge now. Yeah. Unless it's the most situational thing. Like if you're chasing a guy whose shield you've already taken down, then maybe. But or if they're already damaged and have no shield. But it's weird because there are times when I'll charge around the corner, I'll clearly get the jump on someone, though they have full health, and I nail them with my shoulder charge, and they can turn around, and before I can melee them again and again, they can just shoot me. So why even incentive? There's no incentive to use shoulder charge at all.
Correct. Even worse. If I hit somebody with shoulder charge, I'm like, ah, damn, I hit them with shoulder charge. I lost my traversal mechanic.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, the good news is
the traversal mechanic.
It's a negative to use your
shoulder
charge.
The shoulder recharge mechanic is now more effective as a traversal mechanic and getting away than it is in
actually hitting somebody.
Yeah.
And it feels so good in PvE.
And that's the other thing. It feels good in PvE and it feels strong in PvE, where if you hit a group of not elites, but regular red
bar
you take out the one you hit and do 99% damage to all the ones behind it, it feels really good.
Here's one that does still feel good. I think Hunter Knife still feels pretty good.
It feels good because it's fast. But
And just to be clear real quick, don't mean to interrupt. The reason I keep talking about Titans is because that's the class I play. I can't really speak to Hunter Melee because I haven't played a lot of it in Destiny 2.
Warlock mostly use it as a shield.
Hunter's the weakest because of just there's no recharge, Warlocks or Titans. But within the context of Destiny 1, there was armor that allowed you to have faster melee, and sometimes people liked that, sometimes people didn't. But I'm curious to – it's interesting. To me, there's no – PvP TTK increase yet. That's the thing that people are looking for.
Well,
like you care.
No.
I think for the most part, I would say the larger part of the Destiny community that feels like they're not coming back to play the game PvP wise.
I'm also of the opinion that I guess so.
A lot of vocal people right now on YouTube and
but that's what's really this is what's really exciting about the PTR.
Yes.
They can take it in all these different directions.
I agree.
I think having a very short time to kill completely diminishes any kind of variance that you would get from loot. And this being a loot-driven, PvE-centric game, not a PvP-centric game, this is the only place where you can experience raids in first person to the fidelity that they are. And I feel like that's a more valuable experience that is drawing more people in and giving the game a longer tail than what I feel to be not that great of a PvP experience relative to things like Overwatch or the tension that I'm able to feel in PUBG or Fortnite. That's my opinion of it.
I just realized we went 20 minutes on that segment, a little bit longer than I meant to. But What was I going to say? I forgot. Is there any final points you want to make about the PTR?
No, I think what's interesting is, yeah, the PTR is a really positive thing, and I hope that they will introduce things in it like an only snipers mode or an only whatever. They lock loadout or they decrease the time to kill and see what that plays like. That is what I want.
Sure.
Yeah. Experimentation. I think the PTR is going to be great. The issue that the communities has, they always say it's time to kill. I think that is an oversimplification
for sure.
of the problem.
Totally agree.
Dramatically totally oversimplified.
Yeah. It's just one aspect of like a 10 different point problem.
Yeah, I absolutely
agree. Because it's time to kill with
agree.
One, the melee ability.
Because I guarantee
that
you,
is one facet of the time to kill that needs to be adjusted.
Yeah. I guarantee
ARs
you,
are another.
I guarantee you what happens if you just overall lower the TTK, what that means is most people who come to this game is kind of like, they're not core players. They're like casual players. They're going to hop into PvP, get wrecked, like instantly evaporated. And then guess what? You have the same thing you had in Destiny 1, which is everyone just whining about shotguns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They die too fast.
This is why I think they changed it overall. So I'm excited about the PTR. I know we got to move on. Yeah, that is the thing. But to make it sound like it's easy, to me, it's like, yeah, you're either appeasing one crowd or you're not.
I mean, none of this is easy, but it doesn't make it that they shouldn't do it, you know?
No, but to me, it's like they can't change it every day. So that is the problem. I feel like people are just going, hey, we want to change. And until you do that, I'm out. And that
they can try it on the PTR. I think they can go nuts.
Yes.
This is
going to be great.
Place where they can go crazy.
Yep.
Well, we'll see. But I hope it's going to be great.
Yeah.
The next thing we're going to talk about are Bungie's roadmap changes. And this had me actually really excited.
Mm-hmm.
Camera guy switching to a camera I didn't expect. The tallies aren't working today. But anyway, so May 29th, we're getting exotic armor changes. That was much
Zardic
faster.
Armor.
Zardic.
Yeah.
Awesome. I'm calling it.
Snowy
I'm off my game today. I haven't eaten. So, faction rally improvements, strike changes, 360 legendary drops for every 3 to 5 heroic strike completions. That is huge. That actually wasn't even on the roadmap. That was a separate paragraph.
I still think that's a little bit low, but we can talk
about it. But I mean, at least you're getting something, and at least there is a power progression within heroics.
I've probably done a total of 5 heroic strikes, period.
Let's get into that in just a second. Let me finish the rest of the news, the news there. Solstice of Heroes, prestige raid layers are coming in July, year one triumphs, and more exotic armor changes. Those are all for July, including the Solstice of Heroes. And then September, we're getting gear collections, records, weapon slot changes. Weapon slot changes. That's big. Weapon randomization and new gameplay modes. Iron Banner bringing back Bannerfall.
Yes.
I think it's going to be called Bannerfell.
Nice.
That was
That'd
my
be
guess.
Funny. That looks so
the tower's
good.
All messed up. It's definitely changed.
It's really good. I love that map.
What are gear collections?
Yeah, so who knows? I'm guessing it is their solution for the vault.
Yeah.
Yes.
Everyone's using Destiny sets right now to be like, what do I have on my checklist? And if this is anything like that, I would be tremendously happy.
Yeah.
And just knowing that it sounds like it's some sort of solution to address the vault space problem makes me really, really happy.
Yeah, the random rolls thing, I was never really, you know, wanting to go
Let me
away.
Say one thing. If this does address the problem, when you launch Destiny 3
or whatever it's called,
keep it. Don't revert.
Go. No, it's fine. That's what we were talking about. The random roll thing. I think when you thought that it was going to be a collection game with a kiosk that wasn't going to fill your vault to max 200 and now 300, if that is a solution for this where you don't need to have tons of stuff in your vault and it's a checklist, I'm game for that.
Yeah.
That is good.
Exactly
like
the
you
way
you just go and buy it with shards.
The way that exotics work right now.
I think
they should just, it sounds like a lot. But I feel like it's the only solution. Just have that for legendary sets as well.
Yeah, within the context of this is your raid kiosk. This is the heroic strike kiosk.
Maybe this is just your armor kiosk
and
you can tap through it.
What if you had interesting set bonuses for the set you get from the different planets? Because some of those, like you got the weird
aesthetic.
You never know. So basically, to me, the collection kiosk just needs to be the vendors that are there. Like right now, if you go into Zavala and Shaxalot, you can preview everything they drop. Just allow it I check it off to be like, boom, I grab that back.
You can buy these. The same way they're doing the prismatic matrix right now. You've collected these already. You can buy them again. Well, you can't buy them again, but if you let me do that,
I can pick it up again if I want it.
That's how it should be. I'm really, really excited about that. What about these exotic armor changes?
Dude, that's the thing I think most people are focusing on in the community now is like, all right, we've recognized that you've done a lot to change exotic weapons, and it's been great.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's been great.
I dig it.
Yep.
Now, because you've done that, it actually seems...
yeah. Give me more.
No. It just seems like exotic armor is actually kind of pale by comparison. Like,
it does.
The changes to exotic weapons kind of almost underscore how weak the armor has been.
So good.
Like, I don't know about you guys, but I became like supremely reliant on Twilight Garrison in Destiny 1, which is the Titan That is Twilight Garrison,
sure.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Dash air dodge. Mine was Armamentarium. Yeah. I wanted my two grenades, which is back, by the way. Super happy.
Armamentarium with two Titan lightning grenades.
Right?
Yep.
Oh, the most OP thing in the world. So those are the types of things we want, is the same criticisms we had as of exotic weapons, which was that they didn't feel powerful or necessary.
Yeah.
Make exotic armor feel powerful and necessary, and you will have like the admiration of a lot of the people in the community.
There's like
about that.
There's like one, maybe two per subclass right now, like War Rig on Titan. You got Orpheus Rig
Alpha
and
Lupa.
Celestial.
Yeah, yeah. But even then, it's like War Rig is like, okay, great. If you like auto rifles.
Well, the new, well, yeah, yeah.
It's good for PvE.
That's the one that jumps out to me is like changing gameplay. That Mask of the Quiet one.
Which is
what
I use, yeah.
Even that, like, reading into, and it's like, you get three stacks of increased grenade charge when you melee, and it's like, too much. I want a thing. Right. Yeah. You know, I think Graviton Lance is brilliant in its simplicity and its brevity. Mm-hmm. It's just, it does this amazing thing that is immediately understandable.
Twilight Garrison.
Yeah.
You get an air dodge.
Yeah.
That's so awesome.
Yeah. I think it's Wormhusk. The Hunter exotic helmet is actually disgusting. So much so that some people like it and some people don't from a standpoint of PvP. It's super cheap when you do a fade step and you get your health back.
That's nuts.
Yeah, I didn't want to use that one, but that one was pretty dirty.
The exotics are getting a little bit more exotic. You wanted to comment on the strike changes.
Yeah, the heroic strike changes. So you guaranteeing 360. Yeah, I think that it was like going along this very nice road, this very beautiful, brilliant scenery, and then all of a sudden you're just like, whoop, and this crazy speed bump, and that speed bump is hitting 345, jumping into strikes, which feel, in terms of both their complexity as well as like the logistics of getting a group together to do them or being able to matchmake, like the next logical thing after beating the story. Yeah. It's like, okay, go into heroic strikes. They're challenging. They're fun. Mm-hmm. I think the Herald of Zol fight is one of my favorite strike.
I like the mechanics. Yeah,
it's really good.
Boss fights. And so it's a really, 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 really bitter aftertaste when
it
you come out of that
like
with
that?
Literally nothing. Yeah, right.
Nothing.
Yeah, there's absolutely nothing. And so that to me felt really bad. I want to run strikes. I want a reason to go back and run strikes. Zavala now has that like rep system as well as some of the other vendors.
Yeah.
Dude, that's cool.
Even
but
in Destiny 1, they announced or like grinding strikes became a thing like that you would do. You would just group up with your friends and you would just run 10 or 15 strikes in a row because you could do them pretty quick. You would activate one of those little medallions that gave you increased bonus.
Yeah.
And then you would make sure to use your 3 of coins every time and it would up your drop rate like significantly.
Yeah.
And it's like, that was – so the strike itself by itself didn't really give you these rewards like out of hand. But it gave you mechanics to stack it in your favor such that you wanted to invest a bunch of time into it. And then people did. And that is just something these strikes aren't doing right now.
Well, Rise of Iron gave us a huge reason to go back to strikes because that's how you got over that middle gap before endgame.
That's the problem that Duggan's talking about right now. It was like that gap just hasn't been addressed.
I want to talk about a larger problem in progression.
Which is fantastic.
Hasn't yet.
There's a larger problem in progression. That Bungie clearly understands how progression should work up to 265, up to 345, and then they go to this weird free-to-play gotcha game mobile thing where I'm logging in to get weekly and daily bonuses instead of doing the content I want at the pace I want. Mm-hmm. I think historically trying to bottleneck people's progression to extend the time that you're playing a game has been something that a lot of developers have tried, and almost always it's met with a poor reception because it doesn't feel good. If I want to invest 70 hours in a week, but I'm going to no-life this thing, let me, please.
I want a Destin Legarius.
Yeah, what's screwed up about that is you can do that, but just
you're
not
up,
through
Destin.
Their own design.
Yeah.
You can do it by circumventing the systems that they have put
in
place by having ults.
They all have to be different.
Right. And so then what do they do? Now you can't have duplicate characters. It's like they're going back to fix a problem that they've only created because they haven't just stuck with that easy, intuitive progression system.
Yeah.
But here's the
question for you.
Right.
Do you think that as you get to that end game, that it should taper off, your progression should slow? Because I think it should.
I absolutely do. And there's that, like, that curve
Forever
is very important.
It doesn't
like it should
slow
be,
those, Sean.
Like it should
it's
be
a brick wall. They actually call it a brick wall in their update.
Right. And then the other thing, too, is like the concern about stratifying content, having stratifying rewards and items for just raids and things like that, which they're finally leaning into. And I think they need to do more of that. I know it's not a great solution because like it does alienate your casual player base, but I would say that raids are approachable enough. I just think like by the time you're done with the story, you can do heroic strikes. And then you can attempt raids, but it's really difficult. And by the time you're done with heroic strikes, you can do raids, and then you can attempt prestige, but it's really difficult.
Yeah.
Like it's just a very it should be a very intuitive system that they already have up until these soft caps.
Yeah, what do you think, Siege?
The token system is really the overarching theme that we're not talking about, because the stuff that you were talking about in Destiny 1, Sean, you do that because you'd not be able to get like 10,000, you know, tokens to change into the slot machine. You do it once or twice, then go to pick up your XP, right? That was it.
From the bounties.
From the bounties.
Which are coming back.
Yeah, or from the, you know, the quartermaster or whoever's got the challenges. So then it doesn't turn into like a slot machine for 20 minutes and I didn't get anything. So there's a certain amount of, they're giving us too much loot in the way of the token system, which people I don't think enjoy.
Yeah.
That was not the case in Destiny 1. You grinded your strikes, you grinded PvP, you went back to shacks, and you collected this one thing that you were hoping to get, like longbow synthesis or something.
But you'd also get the drops in, like from the bosses.
Which I think is totally fine.
Yeah. You would, but
and
in
from killing
but
stuff.
In now in Destiny 2, you're getting like 50 million blues, and then you're sitting at the postmaster. Thank God for allowing us to delete and stuff, you know, from the vault.
Yeah.
But that's the reason why people feel a little bit over loot saturated, because there's these ways to get loot, and nothing kind of really matters.
It's
after
true,
running all my raids, I just sit there at my postmaster. I'm like, all right, it's inventory management time. See you guys in an hour.
I mean, I don't mind that, like managing and like talking to thing, like managing your inventory, managing your gear. That's part of the game, right?
It is, but now but, like, that there's a square to delete it from the postmaster in the vault, that makes it so much better.
Yeah.
But it's crazy that that's still. Kind
so
of
I've talked
issue.
About like wanting to get that Zavala ship.
Yeah.
And as a funny secondary side effect you're talking about, the items are actually annoying. Like
right.
When I'm getting just filling up my inventory, it's like, hey, I don't want this vault. Just give me the shards or something like that.
That's what Destiny 1 was. It wasn't, hey, you need to turn in 50 million tokens to get what you don't want. It's like, hey, you move up to this progression, then you get this one thing.
And here's your marks.
Here's your marks. You'd only usually get one item each time, and you couldn't stack it. You had to go each time and pick it out when your XP. It's the same thing, just different.
The final thing I'll talk about on this point is that I feel like anybody who's making an RPG progression item-based system that wants to make the loot feel cool, wants to know about how stingy or not stingy they should be with giving it out to their player base and what should reward it. Josh Mascara gave this fantastic talk both at GDC as well as I believe it was the BlizzCon of the following year about Diablo 3. It was in a really terrible place with its loot.
Yeah.
They did a loot 2.0 thing, and it came down to less frequent but more epic drops. That's what we like. You know, we like getting the masterworks that are 10 levels higher.
Gjallarhorn on the ring.
Right. We like getting the exotics. Those feel cool. Getting my 10th pair of, like,
Desolator.
Right. Whatever the legendary, like, generic
Retrograde,
sets are.
Retrograde, whatever.
Right.
2.0.
I get
that
care.
All the time.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Destiny 1 system was pretty good. I think if they
had improvement.
At the end, it did.
It was. I think, like, if we were to actually say what we enjoyed the most, if Destiny 1 was pretty much the exact same with a knockoff table, so you didn't get the same helmet at a drop every time that you wanted maybe legs or chest or whatever, that system was actually pretty good. And
but, I mean,
it's not bad now, but
even
the loot doesn't feel special in a way.
That's true.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Go ahead, Sean, if you got one last point.
Yeah, just
but
like,
I do want
but
to
even
talk
that
about a few
even
things
the whole getting duplicates thing is part of the whole loot drop thing.
Yeah.
You know, like I just think they overdo it.
Yeah, the infusion for sure.
The last topic was escalation protocol. We Duggan and I both went through the entirety of the experience. We were able to get our drops.
I did
Duggan
as well.
Got something. Oh, you did.
I did not get a drop, but I did.
You didn't get.
Oh, sorry,
did
buddy.
You not level up your thing?
No, I got because I'm only at like 265, but we did the whole, you know,
what?
Get in with like a, or 365. Sorry, we did get in a whole bunch of seven people, but I didn't end up getting anything out of it.
One point of feedback. It desperately needs matchmaking of some sort. The way that we're getting nine people in there is ridiculous.
Yeah.
That cannot be disputed, I think. I think in the same way.
So,
so
Cosmo did say on Reddit that he responded saying that he's let the appropriate teams know, but to me this is retroactive, like we said before. Like, come on, this is a no-brainer. This is an experience I don't think you can do without nine people. It is very, very
It's nine the max.
Nine is the max.
Well, so
three groups is
let's great. Preface this. Nine is the max when you can get four different or three different hosts,
and
then you can kind of
figure
for
out folks
a way
at
to
home
get together.
Who don't want to mess with a VPN, number one, a VPN is the best way to do it. But basically what you do is you find people in like your Discord community who all live in the same area. A bunch of us obviously all work together.
Yeah.
And then you just queue up to go into Mars. You go to the southern point because you don't want to go to the northern point because it's more populated. So you really have to game the system to be able to do this, which That part sucks. That part should not be in the game, period.
Another way I saw on Reddit is you can message random blueberries, say, hey, will you let my friend join you as a friend, and then leave.
Just what we used to do.
It's crazy.
Court of Oryx.
Court of Oryx.
Yes. Yeah.
We'd like join someone, go see if someone was there and be like, hey, can you invite my friends?
Yeah.
Some kick you out.
So my only thing. Exactly.
That's a great experience.
You're alone, world, man.
Yeah. My only thing is I'm wondering.
Oh, sorry. I didn't even think about it. When I was doing, I jumped in with these guys and was doing it. Was it last night late?
Yeah.
No, probably.
You guys.
This week.
Yeah. And we had a full group of people, and I didn't even give that a second thought.
It's amazing.
How you guys got that all.
It's honestly fantastic. It's like doing a
Steph was like, get in here now. We have a spot.
He texts me all the time.
If anyone random queues in here, you've lost your spot.
Yeah. So aside from that completely unacceptable oversight, which. But seriously, aside from that, I don't know how that happened, but let's pretend for a hot second that you are able to just queue as a group of nine, go into this private instance and do this thing. I think it was one of the coolest PvE experiences I've ever had in Destiny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really intense. Like, one of the things I noticed immediately was, like, people were really good at keeping the mic clear. They were just communicating necessary information, but really, really fast. Like, there'd be like, wizards behind us, and everyone's like, yep, wizards behind us, got that. And like, we got to take out those knights in the corner. They're just
it's
lobbing shit at us.
And,
if someone's like, hey, for lunch, shut up.
Yeah,
My favorite thing was I had this epiphany moment, this intuitive, like, raid design, imbue the player with the ability to understand the fight because it's intuitive enough and not. Opaque and ridiculous. I'm getting to a place with Destiny raids that I'm becoming less and less thrilled fighting these bosses because they boil down to some form of a static boss that is standing totally still, is like a statue, and you do some kind of opaque weird puzzle mechanic to bring down the shield, and then you have a DPS phase and you rinse and repeat. And that's cool for one or two fights. I think Kallus is a pretty good fight. I think Argos
is a really,
really good fight.
Yeah.
This most recent one, I'm not that up on. I still have to beat it. But anyway.
It took me 14 hours, but I did it.
That's
by the way,
doesn't seem that fun,
I did it before CJ.
Congratulations. Hooray! I beat him in the 1v1, but he got me in the raid.
CJ did get me in the 1v1, Wizened, whatever.
Wizened Rubik. But so that's interesting because for me, I was wanting to go into it. Now, this was a crazy busy work week, and I'm still only at, like, I think 262 or 3. Playing that part of the raid up to that point was still really fun. And those experiences and the way you engage in those raids, great. Like, it's a great job.
Sure.
Escalation Protocol, though. Really fun, too.
Let me just finish this point about Escalation Protocol. Yeah. So the mechanic is, spoilers, that you kill this knight, you take his sword, and you have to bring down a shield, funny enough to my point that I made about bringing down shields.
Yeah.
But the boss is moving around. It actually feels like a boss. It doesn't feel like a statue. And it is fighting you. It is fighting you in the way that a Dark Souls boss would. It has animations that it does when you get close to it. And one of the coolest things was this group dynamic of figuring out, okay, how do we bring the shield down? And what we settled on was we all get the sword. We have a Titan with bubble. That Titan has to go in. But if that Titan goes in and just tries to slam the bubble, he'll just get knocked away. And the bubble will be too far. I run in beforehand, feign the attack. He does the attack. During that animation, one of our Titans comes in, drop the bubble. We drop the shield. Then we all go back and DPS. There are ads everywhere. It felt like it was really taking advantage of all the things that Destiny 2 does.
That's
well.
Exactly what I was going to say is the fight, like what I experienced was it's everything that I want from hard Destiny encounters.
Yes.
One of the things I didn't like about some of the stuff that we got in Leviathan was like, it would be like, here's this obscure puzzle mechanic and then a DPS phase, but the DPS phase is a DPS check.
Yeah, and
you're just standing there trying to do as much damage as you can.
Yeah.
Where I think it really tests player skill when it's like, all right, you have to do a lot of damage, but you have to survive, and you can't stand where you are because if you do, you get pummeled.
Exactly, and that's Destiny. That's what it teaches you, both in PvP,
at the beginning of the game,
through the entire experience. It's about moving, shooting. It's about ability. It's about it's about mobility, and it's about leveraging your abilities to stay alive. Mm. And when you do these fights with Kallus and Argos, this other fight, you're just standing still, shooting at boss.
Argos, I disagree, because Argos, literally, you have to run and jump everywhere. You have to get to points to crit him in order to...
But then when you get on the platform, you just shoot a spot.
Yeah, but you have to do it in order to actually, you know, trigger multiple phases. So I like Argos. To me, Argos is one of the...
Duggan's argument is that it's still stationary.
Yeah, Argos. So here's the thing, ask yourself this question. Like, I like Argos, too.
Me too.
But, like, when you're doing that, like, shoot his, like, like spine back, like weak points thing. Is he firing back at you?
He's just standing
there. Not there. So I will say what I thought was good about Escalation Protocol, which I knew I would like, is it sounds like what you're saying, Duggan, is it's in the open world environment. It's not contained in an isolated area.
You can kind of go anywhere.
And that
do anything.
I really liked. And Court of Oryx was a little bit like that.
Oryx is a big stationary boss, but he moves around. He slams stuff. He's still messing with
and
you.
And you
the
move
whole
a
time.
Lot too. Like
he's still shooting at you.
Remember, like, you know, the whole time you're controlling ads, you're trying to make sure you're killing vandals and killing knights and you're. Mm-hmm. Killing the ogres in the same spot so that you can stack the orbs and stuff. And there's the shadow phase. Like, there's a lot of complexity and movement to those fights. And I actually think, like, I think overall King's Fall is probably my favorite raid. But I think in terms of a good balance between shooting, moving, and puzzle mechanics is actually Wrath of the Machine. Like, look at that Axis fight. Like, when he teleports.
Stationary boss that you shoot in the face.
He teleports. He moves.
True. You're right. He does move.
Like, he moves.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't. Scurry around, but like he teleports, like he goes, and you don't know where he's gonna go.
And you have to keep him in that state in order to beat him.
Yeah, and like, so he'll teleport, and then you have to communicate, like, oh, I'm on this side, I'm gonna slam him. Meanwhile, the other dude on the other side has to slam the platform. Then you can trigger a DPS phase, and that whole time you're still controlling ads, you're still not getting, like, you have to remember you have to kill the servitors and stuff. Like, there's all this really complex stuff to it, and that's what I love about Escalation Protocol is, like, it finally feels like that a little bit.
Yeah, let me just say this. So I did the Warmind review. It's out there, and it was a really, really difficult review for me to write because there are a lot of mechanical problems that you can't matchmake for Escalation Protocol. You hit that wall in the power regression. Heroic strikes strangely aren't a power climb. Mm-hmm. The story is – I still like the story a little bit more than Sean. I don't think it's as bad as Sean does. It's just told too quickly.
Oh,
I don't
sure.
feel like there's any character motivations allowed to be.
I don't remember anything about any story in Destiny 2.
Yeah.
I just don't. It's so expository. Yeah.
Which is crazy because that was the biggest complaint in Destiny 1. It was talking over comms. They've tried to rectify that.
So,
and it's still one of the biggest complaints.
So what I just want to say about that is the Warmind review. But Warmind has also done something else that makes me feel more confident than ever about my 8.5 for Destiny 2 that I give on the initial review of the initial game, even with the problems that it had. I'm more invested than ever in grinding up my power levels. I have that power level chase again. I have three raid encounters that I can experience in the game so far.
Yeah.
There's problems in every facet of Destiny that need to be adjusted, right? But I am just enjoying my time in the game again, and it's something they've changed with how you get gear. Just doing stuff feels more rewarding, and I'm very happy about that.
And there's more stuff to do. This is something I had no perspective on until probably recently, because you guys had played Destiny 1. You had 3 years of content to go through and do on a weekly basis and have a lot of fun and variants there. I had the Leviathan.
Yeah.
As a PC player with Destiny 2. And now having the Leviathan, the two raid layers.
The Leviathan. There's a reason to do Leviathan
Escalation
Prestige,
Protocol,
which didn't exist, and you have two raid layers.
Right. So that feels good, and it feels like, man, if we had three times that, that would be something I'd do every week. So I really, really hope, my biggest hope when I think about what I want out of Destiny in the future, it's not stuff that can be implemented in the next couple months. I really want Destiny 3 to be the final game, and I want it to be kind of like a Master Chief Collection in the sense that we're bringing back every raid from 1, every raid from 2, and we're also moving forward with this.
Right.
But this is the game. Mm-hmm. This is what everybody wants with Destiny. I'll pay $60 every 3 years if I have to, and $40 in expansion. Mm-hmm. World of Warcraft set that model up. That's totally fine. I just don't want to lose my progress, and I don't want to lose the ability to play these experiences with the community that has been built around this game.
Yeah, totally.
That must have been like a huge decision initially when they were talking about the 10-year span. That's what kind of we all thought.
Yeah.
And I think from a PC development standpoint, obviously it's a lot easier to do that when you don't have console cycles in the mix. Like, are we going to see a PlayStation 5 at E3? I don't know, right?
Yeah.
And if we do, I mean, that's probably going to change the game again.
Yeah. So. I mean, people go back to that 10-year game thing, and I don't think that that's what anyone – I mean, I don't know
that
anyone really –
Well, Sea of Thieves is supposed to be that. Anthem's supposed to be that now. Like, everybody's adopting that philosophy.
But the idea,
it's crazy to me.
But the idea – and I don't mind the – there are some games that I think work like that, like, you know, the Counter-Strikes of the World and stuff, Overwatches.
PC.
Yeah, like, they don't need an Overwatch 2. It just continually evolves over a long period of time. I think that games that are tethered to consoles have a particular challenge to face there because at some point the game becomes too hard to run for the older consoles.
Yep.
And you need a – and also just from a marketing and business perspective, like, there's hype and a new opportunity to attract new players if you're going to launch Destiny 3 or whatever. But you're right. When Destiny was announced, we all had this sense that it was going to be the first dedicated, like, games as a service thing, this game that just ever – evolved over and over, like, you know, without major sequels and stuff like that. And if it could really commit to that sort of philosophy and design sensibility going forward, you might actually see something that is like really entertaining for the long run, the way like a World of Warcraft.
I would love to go back and do Wrath of the Machine, like with my character now.
You guys are bringing up excellent conversation points, but we're already way over time. And I want to give CJ actually a chance to talk about one listener that's been sending in these cool little videos.
That's right.
And yeah, just kind of give him a shout out before we wrap
big,
for the day.
Big Fletch, big shout out, man. He was engaged in our little 1v1 battle. He's done a couple tracks for us in the Fireteam chat space and has been a fan of the show for a long time. So I wanted to give him a chance to showcase some of his music tracks that he's been doing.
1v1, the most epic form of fighting. CJ's on his hunter, Des is on his titan. Tune in each Friday to Fireteam Chat. Dropping on YouTube and the IGN app. The FTC cool is on a whole different level. Catch a headshot from CJ and his better devils. Fran got the call out for Trials of Osiris. You test his cool, you best not try this. Des brings assault, but he still loves the game. And he's quick to point out that the vault is lame.
So there's going to be promotional stuff that we'll do over the next little bit and feature him. Because we just finished our 1v1. So now you're going to have to get another
enemy. So there. I don't want to spoil it for those who haven't seen it. If you haven't seen it, go to
pause, go watch it, and then hear what Sean's about to say.
Go to the Fireteam Chat YouTube channel and watch Destin's 1v1. Yeah. But I loved the cut. I thought it was really funny. So my question
Jason
is,
Getchell.
Yeah, are we going? Jason shout out Getchell. To Jason Getchell who edited it. My question is, though, will the winner be facing the winner of me and Fran?
Oh, is that who's
that
next?
Sounds good.
You and right,
I was going to. We want to keep these going.
No,
I don't want to go up against Steven.
The winner of you got you got Steven.
Steven already lost.
Dude, I did an encore. I did an encore at the end, and I crushed Steven three games in a row. So I'm tired. Steven.
Pixar didn't happen.
It's all right. It's in the video.
It's going to be CJ versus all of us.
Yeah, I'm ready.
In Rumble.
PvP is really good. I will say that we didn't talk about your review, maybe not including some of the QOL changes, and that's hard to decipher them. There's a lot of really good QOL changes. Private matches is one of them, and I'm really excited that it's here.
Yeah. I agree, but you're like that's why I don't envy a reviewer because like how do you separate things like quality of life changes when you should be reviewing the game as a standalone thing?
Yep.
It's really
well,
hard.
That's my base review, which it's an 8.5.
Yeah.
And that's hard to explain to people, too. I'm like, they're like, oh, would you change your score? And I'm like, maybe to an 8, you know? Like, because I really did not like Curse because I felt that actually hurt the Destiny brand.
Right.
And I was really, really upset about Curse because it was so negatively received.
Gosh, I replayed the Curse campaign.
Yeah. Real bad.
And it's so bad, dude. Like. Yeah.
Well, and that's what's crazy.
Osiris literally shows up at the end for like 3 seconds and
so
is like,
long.
Stop.
I'm bald. See ya.
Slam your thing on his thing and you're like,
okay.
Here's I thought power I didn't trust room. You.
Like, yeah, yeah.
But this is the last point I want to make is it was interesting. I actually hosted the Black Ops reveal multiplayer.
Oh, yeah.
Like for Black Ops 4. What I will say about this is our criticisms, and Sean, it was overwhelming that a lot of people agreed with you. You felt a little underwhelmed by the campaign. Doug and I also were talking about it's probably super difficult to do these kind of traditional linear campaigns when this is the reception. Like, even think Halo 5.
Oh, my God. And like, the Curse campaign was so bad. That's probably the reason why I like Warmind. Because I'm like, at least I kind of can follow what's happening in this one, so it's better.
And that's the thing. You think about how much development costs are tied into that. Black Ops 4 is not doing a traditional linear campaign. And I guarantee
but
you.
But guess what? I think that sucks.
Okay,
I don't. I think that realistically decisions have to be made, and I'm way more into the idea of a battle royale or something that could sustain the game for 10 years as opposed to playing this 4-hour-long campaign.
I think it's going to be battle royale with 20. We're way over time, guys.
Lore is
so
super
much
important. It's tough. It's tough to like make these decisions.
There's so much going on in Destiny with Call of Duty, with the other games that are coming out, but the energy on this show and in
Battle
the office
Royale
is through the roof. It's an excellent change of pace for a change.
It's been fun.
Any final words before we sign off, Sean?
Looking to fighting against Fran 1v1.
All right.
Sweet.
Duggan?
Yeah. Even if I stop playing this in 2 weeks, I had a good time. And I think that's what's important.
Me too. CJ?
I love playing private matches. I want to do a bunch of 1v1s against everybody here. So we'll set up tournaments as well as the community. So I'll probably end up connecting with people in the community and do a little bit more private matchmaking over the next couple weeks.
Well, all I will say is that's it for this time. Until next time,
Guardians out.
So, CJ, you won.
I did. I mean, I feel kind of bad. I didn't really know I was using Foe Tracer. because I was killing you so fast with my wise and rebuke.
He admits to cheating. That's good.
I mean, I will say
step in the right
direction. It's going to be in the comment section, so I apologize. We agreed to use some exotic armor, but you did good. The tandem was good.
Yeah, let's just say this. I did much better than CJ expected. The reason he stomped me is because he got heavy first, and you can't do anything.
It's really tough, yeah.
I needed to stay away, and I was playing a close-range build.
The tractor cannon definitely – yeah, the tractor cannon is – I laughed at you for saying you were going to come at me, and then those last few kills in the first round, it's actually a little nervous. So yeah. I was like, this timer's ending quickly, right? But it was fun. It was really fun, man. I liked it.
It was great, yeah. Hopefully we get to do it again. I want a rematch.
Rematch? All right. Definitely. Let's do it. Rematch.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.